is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is Wyman and Bob, everybody. You're in the right place. Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Coming up today, two of our favorite, one of our all-time, well, my all-time favorite, I would say. You like them a whole bunch. I have the man crush on Cliff Averill. Cliff Averill will join us at 4 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. Mike Blowers, who we love talking baseball with Mike Blowers, always a great conversation. That is at 3 o'clock today, so a couple of big hitters coming out today.
Yeah, we do.
It's almost like a Tuesday show, Dave.
It is, yeah, and where we are eclipsed in our popularity by our guests.
That's exactly right.
Mike Blowers, is there anybody that does a better job talking about pitching?
Or just the game? I said when I moved from Chicago, I'd lived there 5 years, Steve Stone was the color analyst for the Chicago Cubs. And at that point, I thought he was the best I'd heard. I just thought, this guy gets it. He understands that you know, his audience isn't, you know, wrapped up in all the minutia, all these weird details that some analysts get into. He just had a great way of explaining the game. And Blowers is that guy. He could sit there and get into all the lingo and start talking over people's heads if he wants. He doesn't do it. He's got a great way of describing the game, explaining what's happening, what might be simple to some, to others are asking questions about how do you know this or how do you tell this. And he explains, he does it in a very, very easy to understand way. And I think he's very listenable.
Right. Well, and that's what your job is, right? I mean, you're not supposed to dazzle people with a bunch of fancy terminology.
Yeah, I feel like we get that more in football, to be honest, than you do in baseball.
Totally agree. I totally agree. Yeah, you don't. Well, there's a few exceptions, I would say, in baseball. But there's more
terminology football. In football. Right? Yeah. We're running a two deep. We're running a skinny post. There's more of that terminology. It's a 4-3-3-4. There's more of that in football than baseball.
I think also in football, different people call different things different names.
The same thing will have four different names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's cover three. No, that's a middle field closed or whatever that crap is. Yeah, I hate it. I hate it because, you know, and that's the thing, like for Blowers, he brings the game to you, you know, and I've learned a lot about the pitching and just the mentality and, you know, and we'll talk to him later on. You'll hear him talk about how much studying he does. He knows what the pitchers are going to do and everything. But then, at 4 o'clock, Bob will...
I'll go ahead and gush.
Bob will be gushing over Cliff Averill. It'll be uncomfortable for everyone there.
He's lucky. I've had his phone number forever. I've never messaged him. I could stalk him. I could just say, hey, buddy. Hey, pal. What are you doing today? You want to hang out?
I better make sure Cliff knows that. Just so you know, Bob does have your number, Cliff. I'm sorry.
Look at the discipline I've put on display there by not texting him and saying, so what's going on? Remember, hey, Cliff, you want to talk about your career and stuff?
Do you remember that sack you got?
Yeah. And I'm guessing maybe he's not familiar with the Farley bit, so I could really make him uncomfortable.
Yeah. Doesn't know anything about it. Like, what are you doing?
You're getting weird, Bob. What's going on here?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll tell the story. I texted our buddy Adam Ray the other day, and I didn't include you in the text, Bob, because I was like, hey, can you give me some jokes that I can, you know, make make fun of Bob being, you know, having a man crush on Cliff? And he didn't understand the assignment.
He misunderstood the assignment.
Yeah, so Adam Ray told me, he sends me all these things like, what would, ask Cliff, what would his stage name be if he was a male exotic dancer? I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to ask Cliff that.
That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for something a little different.
Yeah. And then him and I talked a little bit about the Lakers series and the winning time thing.
Yeah.
And how awesome it was. But one of them was, and he just went off with all these, like, mean texts. Maybe ask Cliff who he'd rather be stuck with in the back of an Uber at 2 a.m. Bob Stelton, Mike Salk, or a guy who looks like Bob but sounds like Brock Huard.
What?
I don't know what that means. Or ask him, if football didn't work out and you became an exotic dancer, what would your stage name be? Told that one. Would you rather be kicked in the junk by John Ryan or have your feet tickled by John Schneider? So anyway, I was like, well,
you didn't
Adam,
bust any of those out.
No, I was like, well, Adam, actually, I was kind of looking to make fun of Bob. So I had to come up with my own. But yeah, you'll hear him before.
Yeah, and you, listen, you can't embarrass me on that one because I fully admit it. I just, it's out there. It's,
Cliff
it's
is awesome, man. You know, I kind of talked about KJ too and how him and his, those two families hang out all the time. And I'm like, I'd like to just like sit there and like watch.
Just watch the interaction.
Yeah. The two of the most awesome dudes
ever
to play for the Seahawks.
That comes up at 4 o'clock today. The great Cliff Averill will join us on the program. Mike Blauer's at 3. Meanwhile, the Mariners have the day off, which is much needed, Dave. 16 games in a row. And I know it's not football. It's not the collision sport. But can you imagine what that grind is like? Just as a professional athlete, they're out there, they're fielding, they're taking batting practice. Yeah. Just the grind of a game, 16 days in a row.
Well, remember when we had Amsinger on?
Yeah.
Greg Amsinger. He was talking about, you know, just standing out in the outfield. You know, just being out there every and then having to pay attention. That's one of those games where you have to be really disciplined. I mean, football pretty much demands your attention constantly. It's not.
You'll get hurt if you don't have it.
Yeah, exactly. And you I mean, it's easy to maintain your focus because it's very intense. But baseball, there's just lots of downtime and, you know, just kind of hanging around or like he said, just standing out in the outfield. And not only that, you have to go, like, you're standing around, maybe it's two innings, three innings where nothing comes your way.
Yeah.
And yet you have to be able to immediately get on your horse, try to get, you know, to a, you know, full sprint as fast as you possibly can after having stood around. I mean, there's concentration. I think mentally it would just wear you down.
Yeah.
When's the last time they had this many games in a row?
I don't know. Well, remember? I think before this they played, I went and looked at the schedule. I think they played 13 in a row before this. Does that sound right, Thumb? He's looking at the schedule right now.
I don't
now.
Remember a streak like this, though. You know,
since I think there was a day off like April 25th was their last day off before this. And then I think before that they played like 13 in a row. I mean, it's just – it is, again, not the collision sport that football is or anything, but that's – boy, that's just – that's taxing. That's physically and mentally, as you pointed out, just having to be engaged and having to be completely in tune. That's why you see – you know, I've had people, why are they always, you know, the outfielders, if they catch a fly ball first out and they're putting up the finger, it's just so everybody knows you can lose focus quickly. So you're holding it up. Hey, that's two down. That's two down. So you're just constantly communicating. The infielders and outfielders is as redundant and repetitive as it may seem or as basic as it may seem. It's incredibly easy to lose your focus within a game. And wait, how many outs is it? Wait, who's taking the cut? Okay, just that. Basic communication, you see how much they emphasize it throughout the entire game.
Well, and you see that a lot of, it's not very often that guys, you know, get lost or, you know, do mess up, like not knowing how many outs or whatever. Remember Tom Brady when he didn't know what down it was one time on a Monday night or Thursday night game, I think it was. But, and then the other thing is, you know, you play 16 in a row, and then I don't know if they got on the plane last night, probably.
I would think so.
I would
think so, give them a day to.
I don't know if Blauer's went with the team, but we were talking to him, and he had been walking around out in New York. And
70 degrees and sunny. And like, you're missing nothing here, champ.
It could not have been raining harder when I came in.
Oh, brutal.
So, but, yeah, that now you got to get on a plane and go there. So, yeah, I imagine they went last night, got there late, probably slept in. So, and then you got to go out and play one of the hotter teams.
Yep.
And
you're facing three pitchers who are rolling right now, all winning pitchers, two of which have ERAs under 3, and the other has an ERA of, I think, what did I send last night, 3.16 or 3.19, something like that. So you, for an offense that is struggling, you look at this team that is winning and pitchers that are rolling. You know, you got Scherzer in there. It's going to be a rough go. So we'll see how they do. It's not gone the way they wanted at this point of the season, but you've got 130 left to play. Jerry DePoto was on with Mike Salk this morning talking about a few different things, but just sort of summarizing what's happening, just saying, hey, right now we're just not doing anything really, really good at this particular moment.
You know, it's really the last 15 games for us. It'd be harder to figure out what's going on than what's going wrong, which is roughly everything. You know, we just haven't played well. It's that simple, and it's been. In all facets, truly, we've not pitched. We've really lost our dominance of the strike zone, which is something that we've done quite well as a pitching staff. And from an offensive perspective, it's just been really hard to get that the big hit in the big moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong about any of that. It's easier to point out you know, everything that's going wrong as it is that's going right at this particular moment. I would say the starting pitching, for the most part, I know Logan Gilbert had his first rough outing of the season. I mean, he was the pitcher of the month last month. I mean, he's right. The guy has been ridiculous. So that was, I mean, despite 9 strikeouts, he had walks, he gave up runs, so it just wasn't what we were used to seeing from him this season. But, boy, you got some nice performances along the way where the run support just wasn't there. Or even performances that, yeah, maybe it's not the best you've seen out of Marco or the best you've seen out of Robbie Ray or whatever, even though he struck out 10. They kept you in the game. They gave you an opportunity to win. And that offense has just been dragging and so flat that we talked about it yesterday, that as a pitcher you feel like you've got zero slack. You give up 2 runs, you feel like, oh, boy, I don't know if we're going to be able to come back from this. And that's a bad spot to be in.
Yeah, well, and, you know, to your point, because I was looking at Marco Gonzalez's numbers, but holy moly, you look at Flexen. His last, well, I'll just read for the year. They lost 4-0, and these are his outings. They beat Kansas City 4-1, so you got 4 there. Then lost 2-1 to Tampa, then 4-0, 9-0. So, you know, in the win, yeah, you got some offensive support. You got 4 runs. But in the losses, in the, 4 losses, 1 run.
They've scored 5 runs for him.
Wow.
Combined.
Right.
5 runs of run support in total. Not one game, in all 5.
But in 4 of them, 4 right? of them, yeah, 4 of them were in 1 game.
Yes. So, I mean, it's
just terrible.
So what is that? If you're a pitcher going out there, how do you feel? I mean, are you going out there maybe a little tight going, I can't afford to do this. I can't afford to give up a hit. I can't afford to be aggressive with this guy, because if we get down, this is not a team that's right now built to come back from a deficit.
Yeah.
So I got to be fine. I got to be extra fine. So I could see that having an impact on the way some of these guys pitch.
Yeah, I suppose your strategy and everything. I mean, maybe you're pressing a little bit. I'll bet you every single pitcher would tell you, hey, I just go out and focus on what I'm doing and, you know, can't let that get to me. Has there ever been a pitcher that's, you know, thrown a temper tantrum afterwards or said something in the media like, well, I'm out there doing my part. I can't get any help offensively, apparently. Yeah, I mean,
somebody must have along the years. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Come on, Bob.
That'd be a bad idea. I would just say that if any of them thought about it.
Yeah.
That'd be a really bad idea because, you know, one day they're going to score 7 for you and you're going to go out there and get your tail kicked, and then they can go, well, geez, we gave the guy a 7 spot and he decided he wanted to give up 9.
Yeah.
So, you know, it cuts both ways.
I would think that you would get sent down.
Yeah, that'd be poorly received.
Right.
But you brought up Adam and he sent me a text last night like, what is going on with his team? And my answer was what I think Jerry's answer is here. I was just like, guys are just pressing, man. They're really trying. And here's Jerry talking about guys right now just pressing too much.
Our process until very recently has been very good. And I think, like is often the case when you face adversity or you're struggling, you start to push and you stress and you do things or try to do things that you're just not capable of. And, you know, our guys are, it's not a lack of effort. They might be trying too hard and putting pressure on themselves to do more than they're capable of right now.
Yeah, it seems obvious, right? I mean, nobody, you're not looking at anybody, even if you're the most cynical hardened Mariners fan, you're not looking at anybody on this roster going, he doesn't care. He's not trying. He's not trying much. We had the one text yesterday where they said Scott needs to light a fire under him. I don't think fire is needed here. I don't know if they're the right words to say or buttons to push for him, but nobody's effort is in question at this point. If anything, it's too much. As he said, guys are they're grinding. They're trying so hard that it could be problematic and getting in the way.
Who's the poster child for that?
Kelnick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be more like Julio.
Yeah.
Julio is just up there, and he hasn't changed his approach, and he's just – but, yeah, it's got to be tough to – it's not like other sports, and the press part of it. I mean, you can't all of a sudden, you know, just go out there and you know, do something that's out of the ordinary. So, yeah, it's frustrating for this group right now. And then, you know, I would say – and we'll get to Mitch Haniger, but, you know, maybe a little bit as of – unluckiness. We talked about this last week when we were at Edgar's, and I think Blowers brings it up today, but about Jesse Winker being very unlucky. Julio Rodriguez was unlucky from, you know, the umpires, but then also, you know, some of the injuries, lost JP for a little while there, but mostly Mitch Haniger.
Yeah,
you know, that's really been tough.
Yeah, and then you look in the bullpen, you lose Sadler right out of the gate. You never had Giles. You thought you were going to have him, and he gets, you know, what is it, the tendon on the finger, I guess. Then you lose Romo as Sergio. Well.
I was really counting on him to be like a big part of that bullpen, and you know, I was excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, to see what kind of an effect that I remember when they had him on during the spring, like asking him about his pitches. One is trick him. Two is trick him again. Three is trick him.
Yeah, he's got a great presence about him.
Yeah.
Like, even if he is, I was questioning, like, he's going to turn 40 here soon. So I'm like, I don't know what he's got left in the tank. But if he can be serviceable, I think his presence is right. Almost more valuable than what he gives you on the mound. Yeah, you want him to go out there and succeed, certainly. But I think him being around those guys could, A, take any of the pressure off. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He's got three rings. He's just got a great way about him. When you hear him interviewed, you're just like, oh, I love this guy. Love to hang out with that guy. I want to be friends with him. You know, he seems like he could mellow you out or calm you down. If you're the guy that's out there grinding
right.
And stressed, that he would be the one you could talk to and you'd walk away feeling better about things. So
yeah, him, Robbie Ray, well, and also Mitch Haniger. You know, and the other thing too, I'd say you don't have Kyle Seager and his leadership. And, you know, obviously we found out that those guys really loved Kyle Seager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a huge presence in that clubhouse, whether, you know, fans loved him or not, or whoever did or didn't. The guys on that team did. So that was a big deal. Jerry talked about, you know, you got a struggling team right now. Do you make roster moves? Talks about why their movement is limited right now.
The helpless feeling that we've had is, you know, we have a 40-man roster, and you have to manage the 40-man roster. And right now, 26 of those players are in the big leagues, and 8 of them are injured. And that doesn't count those that are on the 60-day,
right,
who are, you know, effectively not counted against your 40-man. So we only have 5 healthy players that aren't currently playing for us in the big leagues that are eligible, and only one of them is eligible to return because you have to spend 10 days in the minor leagues after you're demoted. So we're really strapped right now and trying to find creative solutions to provide respite for some of the guys that are struggling the most.
That's a lot.
Creative moves.
Well, and then just kind of going through the rules of, you know, guys being called up and down. I think we all look at it, well, send this guy down, call that guy up. Well, there are rules in place. They have to be down there for a certain amount of time. We talked about that with Ryan Divish the other day with Sheffield. I was thinking, well, he might be the fifth guy because they sent him down to get stretched out.
Right.
So that seems the logical move to occupy that fifth starter spot. And he has to be down there for, what was it, 20 days or something before he could be back. So there are all these rules that aren't that obvious or that public that get talked about. And you hear him going through it there, like, we've got 5 players that we can work with, only one who's eligible to be called up currently. You know, so they're hamstrung in the way of, you know, sending people up and down, and then he goes on to, you know, answer why they can't just bring up a guy like Steven Souza.
Correct, and you can't remove injured players from your roster. So it becomes increasingly more challenging as you add each layer of information. And, you know, there are ways to get around it, and we think we've come up with a few. And, you know, one of them was yesterday, just doing what we could. You know, Donnie Walton was blocked here. The Giants had some interest, and we were able to trade Donnie to the Giants and get a nice, very talented young 22-year-old pitcher who will report to Everett, but it also freed up a 40-man roster spot for us to try to navigate.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's the other thing, by the way, just a little side note on the moves they've made with who is it, Mike Ford we were talking about today, Thumb, cash considerations. He was traded for cash considerations and then brought back for cash considerations. Now, I've never really heard what is that? What does that amount to? Are we talking $10,000, $5,000, $100,000? What is
fill my pop machine?
Yeah. I mean, I you know, you always hear that term and we just take it as at face value, like, oh, he just traded for cash considerations. All right. Well, so how much? And obviously it varies for every player, I'm sure, but you know, they traded him for cash considerations and then gave cash considerations to get him back. So was it the same? Was it basically like, we just, it's even, we're giving you back the money that you gave us, we'll take the player back, or do they have to take a hit?
Yeah, or like, you could say you keep the interest
or something. Yeah, I mean let's say it was 50 grand, like, all right, well,
2 weeks,
we'll go 45 on this one, there's a $5,000 penalty or I don't know. I've just, that's one of those things you always hear, and I've never really heard a number attached to it. Curious what that looks like. All right, let's take two.
Well, the NFL schedule officially gets released at 5, but leaks happen, and we've heard from some pretty reputable sources that the Broncos will come to Seattle week 1 for Monday Night Football. That's reportedly until 5 o'clock, though.
Yeah, it's being leaked out by some Denver beat writers, which it would make sense. I mean, it's one of the bigger stories. We got the TV on here, and it was like the lead story on SportsCenter, Russell Wilson headed back to Seattle and all of that. So it seems logical you would do that.
It's a controversial move, probably the most controversial move that we've seen in a while.
The trade.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge news. I'm just looking, like, Matt Ryan signed with the Colts.
Carson Wentz moving around.
I mean, none of those storylines come close to this. So, and then, you know, week 1, we're not sure how either team is going to be, right? But You want to start it off when they both have a clean slate. Just to that's going to bring a lot of viewers in, I think, because
huge, I would think.
Yeah, and text it in to the hotline 206-421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack Brewing Company. But I'm just curious if people are going to be booing Russell Wilson or not.
Well, speaking of reunions, how about this? San Diego Padres beat writer Dennis Lynn reports the Padres are finalizing a deal with Robinson Cano, who was DFA'd by the Mets about a week ago. And because you were wondering, the Mariners do host the Padres for 2 games in mid-September. And how about this? The Mets still have to pay him $37 million no matter where he signs.
Yeah, and I think the Mariners are still paying a little bit of his money, too.
Everyone's
currently
paying him.
It's owned, too.
He's getting checked from everywhere.
Yeah, so he gets all his money. I think a small portion is still coming from the Mariners, the majority from the Mets, and then he'll get a paycheck from the Padres. How about that?
Or the hated Padres.
The hated Padres. Oh, boy, that's a long time hate here in Seattle,
well,
isn't it?
I'll tell you what, there's some hatred after the series last year. What's the number again, Bob?
31-7.
31-7.
Including a 16-1 tail kicking.
Yeah.
Just brutal. Just brutal. Yeah. All right. Well, good for Robinson. We'll see if he's able to turn it around out there in the National League.
Can't root against that guy. He was the nicest gentleman ever. And, you know,
remember, you got the best of him.
Remember Jerry said that he was also the best smelling player in Major League Baseball because he said in his locker he has like every kind of spray. And
the best smelling. That's important. There are some guys that could take a tip from that in some of those locker rooms we've been in. All right. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife prostate. Coming up. We seem to know one primetime game for the Seahawks we just talked about, but how many more will they have? We'll talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Schedules will be released for the NFL coming up at 5 o'clock today. Already some leaks out there. You've heard us talking about the idea that the Seahawks will face off against the Denver Broncos in week 1 on Monday Night Football. That has not yet been made official, but that is coming from some reputable sources, some Broncos beat writers. So exciting way to kick the season off. And once the schedules are released, we will go through all of it. But when we look at primetime games, Dave, I'm just curious. For me, it was always, you know, as a fan, you looked at it and said, well, that's a national showcase. That's now the nation can see the team that I root for, that I really pull for, and I want them on display so they can see how good they are. Is that feeling still there for the team this coming season? Do you feel like this is a team you want on display? Because I think we're talking about a team that, you know, a lot of people feel may not be a playoff team next year. Maybe a bit of a down year before they really hit their stride and, you know, find their groove again, so to speak. So is it as important as it once was to get that notoriety or that attention?
Yeah. Let's look at, like, what would bring people to if you don't have Russell Wilson.
Or Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner. Number one, as far as a player goes, it's going to be DK. We've decided. I think Pete Carroll is very much an attraction. I think people will still, you know, and I think for the stations, they're thinking, yeah, I mean, whoever's carrying the game, Fox and is CBS doing the AFC still? Or anyway, I think they think Pete Carroll is a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I think also the uniforms, you know, the setting and everything like that, and the, you know, the crowd and how loud it is in there. I feel like those things are still a draw. So my prediction Are we getting to predictions? Because I know what yours is. How many national broadcasts?
Oh, yeah. Did we already do that? I can't remember if we talked about it on the air or off the air.
I think we talked about it yesterday with Bomp a little bit. But
yeah, I think they'll have two. I think you set the over-under at three, and I said I'd take the
three,
under.
You said two. Yeah, I think it'll be one of those two. I don't think it'll just all of a sudden go to just one.
Well, our guy Brady Henderson tweeted out their history since 2009. So here's the number of primetime games they've had since 2009. Zero. In 2009, zero in 2010, which was Pete Carroll's first year. 2011, they had two. 2012, they had two plus Toronto. That was Russell's rookie year. 2013, they had four. 2014, they had four. 2015 and 16, they had five each of those years. 2017, they had four. 2018, they had five, plus they went to London. 2019, they had five. Last 2020 they had four, and then last year they had five. So they're in to varying degrees of success. Obviously, 13 won the Super Bowl, 14 got back to Super Bowl, lost, missed the playoffs in 17, and then last year missed the playoffs when they had five primetime games.
Yeah, and look at that 12, 13, 14, 15. Those are the sweet years for the defense when they were number one scoring defense. Never been done in NFL history. So, but yeah, I just go. You know, that it's 5-4-5-5-4-5, and now all of a sudden it goes to two, maybe.
Well, they had zero the first 2 years and then two the following 2 years.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's not like it just, you know, gradually goes away. It could drop off. So you might be right with the two. Maybe it's one. I don't know. But which they've never had one. It's been zero or two, according to Brady. So, yeah, I still think that there's some attraction there with Pete Carroll. And I think the other thing could be, how are they going to do without those two guys? Because they've been here for so long. And, you know, that's kind of a fascinating story. I'll tell you what, boy, the graphics people in those national games last year were fairly harsh. Remember they had the one, the Legion of
Boom,
and then it said the Legion of Boo.
Yeah,
I think the M dropped off, and they showed all the defensive numbers. Then they had
kind of hard to disagree with.
Well, they absolutely did. I mean, you went from one of the best to one of the worst, and it was historically bad. I mean, it was historically good in those years I mentioned, 12 through 15. It was historically bad. They were on a pace in 2020 to give up more yardage in that one season than two other seasons combined.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, I think it was passing yards, but still, I mean, that was
terrible.
A huge number.
Now, let me ask you this from a player's perspective when it comes to primetime games. Do you care?
You know, I'm not sure if it's that way anymore, but boy, when I played, yeah, absolutely. Monday Night Football, because, you know, especially Monday Night Football, and really that's all they had other than the Thanksgiving games. Monday night is when you get a night off. You know, you watch film on Monday, and then everybody typically, that's when you have common karate night, Bob, camaraderie night. Somebody called it that. And, hey, we're going to go out and have some common karate? Like, oh, you mean camaraderie? Yeah. So, I mean, and everybody's watching you on Monday night. You're the only game.
Yeah.
You know, whereas.
So there's a sense of pride as a team, like, everybody's watching us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, if you have thoughts of going to the Pro Bowl or whatever, you know, everybody gets a chance to see you if you have a really good game, especially. So, yeah, I think that I'm not sure if it's still the case, but I would think so.
Because it's been watered down a bit, right? You know, you got Thursday night football, you've got Sunday night football, you got Monday night football. So,
yeah,
you've got three opportunities for primetime games there.
Yeah.
During non-holiday time. Obviously Thanksgiving you can be one of a few teams that plays and things like that, but just your basic weeks, you got three, whereas when you were playing, Monday night was it.
Yeah, I would think Thursday night would be a pretty big, you know, you get pretty excited about that.
But I feel like we hear him complain about that more than celebrate.
Oh yeah, they complain.
Yeah, definitely. Like I don't hear many players are like, this is great, we're the only show in town, everybody's watching us. It's a short week, and they don't care, you know, if it's Richard Sherman, he's telling you how the league doesn't care about your safety and all that. So I feel like I've heard more complaints about Thursday night football from players than I have a celebration of, hey, we're the show tonight.
I don't understand that at all. I really don't. And even when I think, you know, you're hearing from veterans, right? So the young guys, you want to get out there on Thursday night. It doesn't matter to you, but I don't get complaining about that. It's a chance to play. Even in my ninth year, I was like, yeah, sure, come on, let's go, man. I mean, I was like that the 2 years after I was out of the league. I still wanted to get back in and, you know, was really excited about just playing in the game. So, yeah, I don't understand the complaining about that.
People weighing in, you were asking if people were going to boo or cheer when Russell comes to town. And again, that's the rumor. It'll become official at 5 o'clock. But the rumor is the Seahawks and Broncos will start things off week one on Monday Night Football. We'll see when that becomes official. But you asked whether they would boo or cheer Russell Wilson. 360 says, I'm going to scream cliches at Russell. Well done, 360. Well played. I like that. I'm going to scream cliches.
Russell, you just got to take them one at a time.
That's so good. 310, can't cheer him, won't boo him, so I will be giving Russell Wilson the silent treatment. 206, heck no, not going to boo, cheer and cry. 253, I won't be mad when Russ gets sacked. So it's a mix of everything. I like that, though. I'm going to scream cliches at him.
That's great. Failure's not an option, Russ. You know, I wonder also if people, I mean, once you pretty much know, like, the Seahawks didn't want to do this. You know, and that was the question I asked from the very beginning. It's like, whose idea was it? That's what really matters. I really, really strongly do not feel that this was the Seahawks' idea. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, that's why Russ was kind of fighting to, you know, dispel that whole thing that it was his idea. You know, he didn't want the unpopular feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's going to be a fun week whether it's week one, week four, whatever it happens. You know, there's going to be a lot of hype around that. So looking forward to that one. Meanwhile, the Seahawks do have a tough schedule. Or do they?
Bob, I'm sorry, really quick. Somebody said, I really hope he looks fat in orange.
Sorry. That'll be part of the screaming cliches at him, too. Seahawks will have a tough schedule. We'll see how it lays out once it's unveiled at 5 o'clock. And the Mariners are in the middle of quite a slump. So which of these two teams? We asked this late yesterday, and a lot of people were tuned out after the Mariner game. So we're going to throw it out there. You guys can text in. Which team makes the playoffs first? The Mariners or the Seahawks? We'll get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Mike Blowers will join us. Always love. I could talk to Mike for hours. I say that every week, but it's true.
And no,
he,
I know.
He certainly wouldn't want to, but I would enjoy it.
I think he talks enough, Bob.
I think he feels like the segment is just as long as it needs to be,
yeah,
and not any longer.
What was Goldsmith was telling us? It's stories, stats, silence.
Yeah.
I think Mike can appreciate a little bit of the silence, a little bit of the downtime.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd wear him out.
Instead of being peppered with questions from Bob Stelton.
I'm not always aware, Dave. I'm not always aware when it's happening.
Whenever we're like somewhere and like somebody comes in, like Ryan Roland Smith in there, and or we run in, I'm like, I'm not going to get a question in here. As long as Bob's in the room, I'm going to start raising my hand.
But it's I spread it out. I ask you a lot of questions. I ask them a lot of questions.
I know. You ask everybody lots of questions.
Yeah. I'm interested in you guys.
I'm just saying, if there's fresh meat in the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're all over it.
Oh, I love it.
You can't get Bob's like a dog on a bone, man. My wife did that to me the last night, I think.
What, peppered you with questions?
No, I was talking and she raised her hand.
Oh.
And I was like, yes, Shannon Wyman. That's what I'm going to start doing with you, Bob.
Just raise your hand. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm next.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, we brought this question up yesterday, but it was after the Mariner game. We came on late. A lot of people, you know, get out of their habit. They don't tune in. So I want to throw it out there for our full audience. And the question's very simple. You're looking at the Seahawks, who do have a difficult schedule this year. We'll see how it lays out coming up at 5 o'clock. And obviously the Mariners sitting at 14-18 and lost 12 of 16 games are in a rough stretch with 130 still to play. The question for you is, and you can text in your response, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Which of these two teams gets to the playoffs first, in your opinion?
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Even after Bump threw your logic back at you yesterday.
I know.
I wish we had a clip of that. I was like, you know what? Because Bump said, you know what you always say, Dave? I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Wait, which stupid thing did I say that made? No, it was that, you know, you just can't win with rookies a lot of times.
Yeah, if you get anything from a rookie, you're happy.
That's what I always feel like, even if it's a first rounder.
And we're counting on potentially, what do we say, four rookies potentially, the both tackles, the running back, and then maybe the cornerback.
And like I said yesterday, I will help you make my point, defeat my point, or my prediction anyway. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about rookies on the outside where there are, you know, corners who have to cover ridiculously talented receivers, and then you've got two potentially rookie offensive tackles that have to block these crazy, ridiculous defensive ends, like Von Miller, So who's playing in Buffalo now, so at least we don't have to face him. But, yeah, it's just it is that. I get that. I just, you know, we're also kind of captured by recency bias here because the Mariners have lost,
12
of the last 16 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure if I think the whole question is going to be whether or not I feel like the Seahawks are going to surprise a lot of people, but a lot of that is going to be depending on who's playing quarterback and, you know, are they able to find, I mean, I'm just asking for a game manager right now. And if they can get back to the run game and get either Carson or Penny out there, I really like Ken Walker, but you know, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's kind of a long shot for me, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I hope you're right. Well, no, I hope I'm right, only because the Mariners haven't been there in 2 decades, man. So I'm going with the Mariners because I still believe they are decidedly more talented than they've shown. Do I think they're a World Series team? No, I do not. Do I think they're talented enough to get to the postseason? Yes, I do. When everybody said, now, Mitch Haniger, that news that he's going to be out potentially until July is really damaging, and we don't have any idea what to expect from Kyle Lewis. So there are certainly concerns, but there's so much time left, 130 games left. I think the Seahawks division is brutal, with the exception of the Cardinals. That's the one team I don't really fear. The Rams, I mean, the defending Super Bowl champs, look just as strong, if not stronger. 49ers, we'll see what they do at quarterback, but they're always a problem anyway. So I feel like it's a tough road for the Seahawks. I think the Mariners still have it in front of them, have a chance to get it figured out, certainly. So
this year?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still going with no excuses, Dave.
Right.
Still going with it. No excuses.
You better get there. Last year it's not sustainable.
Yeah. So,
this year,
and then
no excuses.
Lefko threw a note on our sheet here, a note from the NFL. For the last 32 years, at least four teams have made the playoffs after missing them the previous year. So last year there were 7 teams that made the playoffs that were not in the playoffs the previous season. So it shows
7
you how,
teams.
Yeah. So it shows you how quickly you can turn things around in the NFL. So I feel like it's easier as a whole in the NFL, although I think the Seahawks' task based on their division, who they're competing with, is a little tougher. But it is easy, you know, if we're going long term looking down, it's easier in the NFL. But this year for this exercise, I'll go with the Mariners.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned also continue to make points against my prediction here, but you're in the NFC West, arguably one of the best divisions, and then you're playing the AFC West, which is the toughest division. So, yeah, it makes it pretty unlikely. But man, you know, if I'm right and it's not the Seahawks this year, I feel really bad for you and every other Mariner fan that it's going to take that long, because that's now we're talking, 3 seasons from now.
Yeah. Where are you at, Thumb? Who you got, Seahawks or Mariners?
I think it is so much easier to make the playoffs in the NFL, and you have 7 teams that make it. I mean, you essentially have half the league making it, and we just don't know yet with the Mariners. Is this the sign of a big malaise, or are they going to get out of it? So right now, today, I would say the Seahawks. I think the hope is it has to be the Mariners who make it first.
Yeah, I think I will definitely be in the minority picking the Mariners. I haven't looked at our text yet. And you guys, again, can text in 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Who makes the playoffs first, the Mariners or the Seahawks? I think I will be in the vast minority on this one. And I hope all of my Mariner brethren will be proud at the end of the season, as I will when we're right, hopefully. Ending a two-decade-long drought for the postseason. We need it. We need it. All right, coming up, we'll get a good sense of what is going on with this Mariners team with our next guest, Mike Blowers. Does it better than anybody out there as far as color analysts go, and he's with us every week. He's coming up next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.